Okay, everyone, so we might as well get started. As usual, I will talk a little bit about meditation practice first of all, and then we'll get into the real deal afterwards. The idea, one of the kind of main principles of meditation that we talk about a lot is the idea of letting go. And so I thought I would just talk a little bit about this idea before we kind of try to do it again in practice. And very often people say letting go is really difficult, don't know how to do it. And some people say, oh, it just happens when you're ready, and all of these kind of things. But actually, there is some good advice to be given about the idea of letting go, how to make it happen and what it actually means, how it comes about. And as everything in Buddhism, everything in life, everything anywhere, everything is the result of causes and conditions falling into place. And when the cause and conditions are right, letting go will happen. So it's really about putting those causes and conditions into place, and then everything else is pretty much automatic. Letting go, first of all, what is it that we're letting go of? As you will hear when Ajahn Brahm talks about meditation, letting go is all about letting go of the doing inside, because the doing is what drives the restlessness of the mind. It drives the thinking, the agitation, the movement, and the interest in the variety of things. But it doesn't just drive the thinking mind, it also drives the attaching mind, the holding on mind. So sometimes in meditation you might get a bit tense, or you might feel that you are grasping the breath too much. There may not be much movement there, but it's a sense of grasping. And the reason you are grasping is because you're not at ease with the breath. If you grasp, it's because you're afraid to lose it, or you're holding on to it. That is also a kind of not letting go, the fact that you're holding on to things too much. So the idea of letting go is this easy attention. There's no grasping, nor is there any movement. It is a natural mindfulness where the mind is drawn to the object because the object is pleasurable. It is fun. It is interesting in its own right. And the whole idea of a problem is this idea of doing too much. Why do we do so much? There are two causes why we do so much. One is just the interest in things in the world. We have interest in this and that. We have all these things that we have to do in our life. And because of that interest in the worldly things, the mind tends to go to those places very often. And so the answer then to undermine the doing and to actually make the mind peaceful is to kind of reprioritize a little bit. What is actually important in life? What matters? What should we prioritize? And the idea here is to prioritize the meditation, prioritize the spiritual path, to understand where real contentment, real happiness is to be found. So just remind yourself at the beginning of the meditation, it will help you to let go during the meditation itself. Remind you what really matters in life. Remind you at the end of the day, when you come to the end of your life or whatever, what you will remember, what will take you forward in a good way beyond that point, what it is that gives rise to the real satisfaction, not the ever returning, just going around and round and round, not really having any purpose, not going anywhere specific. That's what ordinary life tends to be like, not actually going anywhere. It's a spiritual path that takes you somewhere. That is what transforms you into a more wholesome, better kind of person if you practice this path. So right now we are sitting here and we're doing something very extraordinary, something really transformative for ourselves and for the people around us. This is what life really is about. So change your priorities, prioritize the spiritual path. This is where it is at, nowhere else. And then when the mind inclines in that way towards this practice of the Noble Eightfold Path, which includes meditation, letting go will tend to happen. Why? Because you're not interested in those things anymore. They don't matter so much to you. The spiritual path is what matters. So this is the main idea behind letting go, placing value of placing value into those things that actually have value, and not valuing things that don't really have that much value in our life, understanding what really matters. There's another idea that causes holding on, another thing that causes the movement of the mind, and that is the sense of self. And a sense of self, it wants to express itself, etc., etc. But with the sense of self, the best way to overcome that is just to sit back and just observe and to learn, to identify with the observer rather than the doer. And after a while, you start to do that. You can see the movement and everything. You just observe it as it from a distance. But you identify with the knowing instead. And the knowing is still. The doing is what you don't identify with. So this is how you gradually learn to let go by understanding where to find satisfaction, etc. It's all about knowing the difference between suffering and happiness, where to find one, where to avoid the other. This is what gives you the kind of ability to let go. But it starts very simply. Letting go begins very easily at the very beginning, because it's about the doing of the mind. So letting go at the very beginning is just learning to relax, basically. That's kind of the initial letting go. Because if you're not relaxed, it means you are a bit tense. Comes from the holding on of the mind, usually. So just by starting to relax, to be at ease, to enjoy being here, already the doing dies down, the holding on dies down, and then you actually letting go happens in that way. And then you encourage a letting go by reminding yourself what is truly valuable in this world, where you want the mind to incline, and then the mind comes to the spiritual path and lets go of the other things, and then gradually you're heading in a very positive and good way. That's the theory for you. Let's try it out in practice and see what happens. Let's do the questions afterwards, please. Okay, everyone. So, as always, just start up by making sure you are at ease, you are comfortable, you have at least some initial relaxation, and just take a lot of time in the beginning just to really relax, letting go of that doer inside, the holder inside that tenses us up sometimes, and then by letting go of that, find that beautiful ease of the body. And it's remarkable just by finding that beautiful ease of the body. In a sense, you are already at that point learning to enjoy the meditation. Because a lot of people are stressed in daily life. It means at least now you can really relax. And the first benefit of the meditation is found right there. And to be able to relax, it is so important to have a benevolent attitude towards yourself, to, if you like, value yourself, to like yourself, and always remember that if you are a person on this spiritual path, you are already worthy of a lot of respect. So have that sense of self-respect where you allow yourself to relax, allow yourself to enjoy the meditation. And that sort of benevolent attitude is fundamental to make this path work. And as you carry on, just being aware with a benevolent attitude of the mind, it is really about just waiting in the present, waiting for things to calm down, as if you're standing back, observing everything. And as you observe it, it gradually disappears all by itself, simply because your mindfulness does not allow things to arise and disturb you anymore. And as you go along in this way, if you need to, remind yourself very gently, as if you're just nudging the mind, that this is what really matters in life. This is where you are constructing your future, creating what is really worthwhile. Everything else is a distraction. Okay, everyone, so coming close to the end, and as usual, before we come to the very end, I recommend just using a few moments just to recollect the meditation today and try to understand the process, try to understand how the meditation works. Okay, everyone, so are there any questions or comments from the floor? Yes, oh, okay, over here. Do we have a microphone, please? Sorry? Just waiting for the microphone to arrive. Just 1 second.
Hear me all right?
I think so. Try again, yeah?
Introduction today was so fast I couldn't understand it.
You can understand it, okay.
It was very fast. I've seen you before many times, but today it's very fast.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of how it is, you know. It's kind of, this is how it goes sometimes. Try to, if you want to hear it again, just it's going to be recorded, so you can actually hear it later on the internet. So it makes it easy for you.
All right, thank you.
Yeah. Okay, anyone else want to say anything? Everyone else is okay? All right, so we have a few questions from outside. So the first one is how to practice during the day to help our chances to get into jhana. Do we try to be present, remind ourselves anicca every few moments, radiate metta? All of those, not at the same time maybe, but all of those at suitable times. And some of the most important things during the daily life is to actually remember what are the supportive conditions for meditation. Remember that meditation arises from mindfulness. When you are mindful, it means that you can usually sit back, you can watch the breath, and you can do whatever. So you have to ask yourself, what are the supporting conditions for mindfulness? And two main supporting conditions are right view and sila, sila being the morality or the conduct or whatever. So when you say radiate metta, you're getting close to what this is about. So it is about just your conduct in daily life, how you perceive other people, that you have some compassion, you have some kindness towards them. All of these things are incredibly important. But also, one of the things that we often underestimate is the contemplation in daily life, just contemplating, understanding things as impermanent, as often problematic, as out of control, and all of these kind of things. When you kind of encounter difficulties in daily life, then very often that is a possibility for contemplating the Dhamma, because all of this really is Dhamma. It's a beautiful saying by Ajahn Chah, who was Ajahn Brahm's teacher, that everything teaches you. Everything in the world has this possibility because everything is touched by these three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta, impermanence, suffering, and non-self. So that is where the right view kind of comes in, and then you have the general conduct. So use that in your daily life, and then you find your mindfulness grows over time, in part because you feel good about yourself. When you feel good about yourself, you want to be present, no need to kind of run away anywhere. And then eventually the mindfulness is sufficient, and when you sit down, you become more peaceful, etc. Then we have a question from Germany. If a practitioner can enter deep meditation effortlessly, is this always proof that a meditator's behavior in daily life is pure and virtuous? Or is there still a need for development? So, not necessarily, because sometimes a person may be able to tap into maybe things they have done a long time ago. Yeah, so maybe there are things that you did even maybe in a past life or something. Yeah, something that goes long, long back time back into the past. And sometimes you just tap into these feelings. Yeah, you feel good about yourself. You feel you have a positive perception or something. Yeah, and it may kind of bypass sometimes your conduct in ordinary life. Yeah, so it's not, there's not a complete sense of, not a complete association between the two. But of course, it is helpful. The more, the better your conduct it is in daily life, the more likely it is that you will feel good about yourself, because all you can remember is that you are doing pretty good. Yeah, actually, I'm doing pretty all right. I'm being kind to everyone, doing my very best. Gee, actually, yes, okay. I have good grounds for feeling good about myself. And then you have no choice anymore. You have to feel good about yourself, whether you want to or not. And of course, guaranteed, you want to feel good about yourself. So very important. Yeah, so it is not absolutely necessary always, but guaranteed it will be very helpful. So keep on doing that. Okay, so I have wondered why some Buddhist monks guide to meditate with eyes open and some closed. Okay, not sure why they do that. I think some people have this a different idea of meditation, which they call open awareness or something like that, and actually the whole meditation happens with your eyes open. But really, if you, you know, and it can be all right, yeah, maybe initially to start out, you can start with your eyes open if that is more natural for you. So maybe you don't fall asleep, or you just want to have an initial calming down or whatever. But meditation is really something that goes beyond the five senses. And to be able to go beyond the five senses, generally speaking, you have to close your eyes, yeah? Close your ears if you can as well. I can't really do this, so with that's not okay. So that's kind of the idea. I would say the deeper you go, the more natural it is to close your eyes. If you're meditating superficially, it may not be required, but the more peaceful you become, the more natural it is just to close off the senses. Okay, everyone, that is all for today. So let's just pay respect to the Buddha Dhamma Sangha.